Yeshaya Perek Tes Pasuk Aleph Ilu Nishma Savi Mori Pesel David Ben Avram Nata. So now with Perek Tes, we enter a new historical era. So we started the Sefer with the prosperity of King Uzziyahu, and then the nation of Israel, but also Yehuda, entered a time of civil war, of unrest, while the quiet era of Yosam was positive for Yehuda. Eventually that led to wicked King Ahaz, which is where we start this Perek, almost finished with him. And in the meantime, up in the northern kingdom, there are assassinations and civil war and brother against brother. So Yeshaya had given us advice so far and had told Ahaz, stay out of the fray. If there's international war between Ashur and the coalition against him, particularly Malchus Yisrael, the right thing for the Jews is to keep their heads down and stay out of it. But instead, the opposite happens. Ahaz makes an alliance with Ashur, invites them in, and then calls himself your son and your servant to Tiglath-Pileser, and then acts that way. He adopts Assyrian ways. He makes a visit to Damascus, participates in idolatrous rituals, and then finally comes back to the Beis HaMikdash to put up Avodah Zarah images and a big altar based on the one in Damascus, and close the Beis HaMikdash to the service of Hashem almost entirely. Different altars went up at every corner of Yerushalayim, the Nach tells us. And we went through this in Sefer Melachim, and Ahaz is a terribly wicked person. And so Yeshaya gives an interesting nevuah that at the beginning seems to sound kind of celebratory. But in fact, he makes it clear pretty quickly that this is actually terrible, and that the foundation of Yehuda is rotten at its core, starting with the king at the top. Ha'am ha'holchem b'choshech, he begins. The people who walked in darkness. Ra'u ar gadol. Saw great light, and most of the Mefarshim connect that to the huge victory over the bloodthirsty hordes of Sancheriv, which were surrounding the city of Yerushalayim and seemed to be heralding its doom. And instead, a miraculous miracle overnight, and the army melts away. Yoshvei ba'aretz tzalmaves, or noga aleihem, those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death, tzalmaves, tzail of maves, light shone upon them. So it sounds like a really positive image, the sun's golden rays penetrating the gloom of the black wings of death, says Rabbi Hirsch in a beautiful kind of phrase. The defeat in the previous parak in Parakhes Pasukhes talked about winged defeat. So you've got some of that image over here too. In Pasuk Beis, here Bisa Hagoi, Lo Higdalta Hasimcha, you have aggrandized this nation. You have magnified the joy for them. They rejoiced over you, lefanecha, over God, like the joy of the harvest. Kasher yagilu bechalkam shalal, as they rejoice when they divide the spoils. And this is a reference, the Chazal tell us, to the fact that the great miracle of the defeat of Sancheriv, the fall of Sancheriv's armies, happened on Pesach night. And we talk about that by Yehi Bachatzos HaLaila in the Zimra that we say in Nirtza at the end of the Seder. So, is he talking about what's happening with Sancheriv? Very possibly, directly. But at the same time, the light and the darkness may refer to spiritual darkness of the time of King Ahaz. To the fact that the people have really taken a huge step back in terms of their Yiras Hashem and their Avodas Hashem. In fact, we said in the middle of Parakhes that Yeshaya at this point wasn't even prophesying publicly. This prophecy may have been made very much in private, just him and his Talmidim in the Beis Medrash, talking about the future in a way that the people can't hear and wouldn't listen to anyway. And Gimel continuing what seems to be celebratory, but is really not, is really a kind of reference to the problems that are rotting away underneath. Ki es ol subalo, the ace mate shichmo, for the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the oppressor, shevet hanoges bo, the rod of the one who oppressed him, hachitosa ki yom midyan, you have broken, Yeshaya says of HaKadosh Baruch Hu defeating the enemy, as you did, as on the day of Midian. So the plight of the people of Yehuda, say the Mefarshim, is referenced in three different types of burden. a yoke, a load on their shoulders, the staff of their oppressor. We're talking about the heavy taxes that Ashur had placed on the Jewish people, the merciless way that the financial load was forced upon them, and the brutal way that it was enforced. But it all ended with one great smash from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it seems so positive, and it's on the day of Midian back in the time of Gideon, when the Midianite army was absolutely crushed. Gideon and his 300 men with foxes with torches tied to their tails and their shofars. Dalet ki chol se'on so ein b'ra'ash. Every victory shout sounds with a great noise. Se'on so ein. More poetry from Yirmiyah. V'simla megolala v'damim. And garments wallow and are drenched in blood. But this shall be burnt, consumed by fire. So war always means tumult and bloodshed and suffering. Gideon waged war against Midian with very meager, tiny resources. But the fall of Sanherib, there's not even a Jewish army of meager size. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it completely himself, smiting them in the nighttime. And he connects that to a positive future, at least in these next couple of psukim. Pasukei ki yeled yulad lanu, a child has been born to us. Bein nitan lanu, a son has been given to us. Not referring to the three sons of Yeshaya that we've mentioned before, but rather a son of Asar. Vatihi ha-misra al-shechmo. Authority will be upon his shoulder. Vayikra shemo pele yoetz. And his name will be called, and God may have called his name, Pele Yoetz, the wondrous advisor, El Gibor, of the mighty God, Avi Ad Sar Shalom, the everlasting father, Avi Ad, Sar Shalom, the Prince of Peace. Who is Sar Shalom? So the Christians have had a field day with this pasuk and trying to use it to refer to their own messianic figure, but many of the Mefarshim say that this is talking about Chizkiah. The Bein Nitan Lanu is the son of Achaz, who is going to do wondrous things for the spiritual life of the nation. He is going to be a Sarshal. He could have been Mashiach. We know that from when we talked about Chizkiah. He brings hope for the future. So this private prophecy of Yeshaya seems to have a lot of positivity to it. But unfortunately, as we're going to see, the rest of the parak after Pasuk Vav is going to be divided into several sections and stanzas. A nevuah, a prophecy of the shame of Klal Yisrael. And that's next.